My guest at this time is former Virginia Congressman Frank Wolf. He served 34 years in the House of Representatives and was best known for his tireless work for human rights and religious freedom and sponsoring the International Religious Freedom Act. He retired at the end of the past Congress, saying his faith in Christ compelled him to be a full-time advocate for those oppressed for their faith. He is now the first ever Wilson Chair in Religious Freedom at Baylor University and is co-founder of the 21st Century Wilberforce Initiative, where he is also a distinguished senior fellow. Last month, Wolf was one of the leaders of a seven-day trip to Iraq to assess the horrific plight of Christians, Yazidis, and other religious minorities. And what they discovered was not just desperation, but actually an existential threat to believers in a region rich in biblical history. The 21st Century Wilberforce Initiative subsequently released a new report entitled Edge of Extinction. And Congressman, thanks very much for being with us today.
Sure. It's good to be with you. Thank you very much.
You knew going in that obviously you were going to find horrific treatment of Christians and other religious minorities in Iraq, as well as inhuman living conditions. But what struck you most when seeing their plight firsthand?
Two things. They're really suffering, and they're really facing extinction. It's important to remember two things. In 2001, there was 1.5 million Christians in Iraq. They're down now to 300,000, and I think really probably under that number. We don't want to, you know, say, but some say maybe under 225,000. Secondly, more biblical activity took place in Iraq than any other country in the whole world, other than Israel. Abraham's from Iraq. Rebecca's from Iraq. 12 tribes of Israel lived in Iraq. Ezekiel is buried in Iraq. Jonah, Nineveh. In fact, Jonah's tomb was just blown up in Iraq. Daniel, one of the great men of the Bible, is buried in Iraq, and yet the West doesn't seem to care. And so the suffering of the people is just not numbers, but we interviewed many, many people. They're suffering. They would like to stay. But if something isn't done, they are going to leave. And secondly, the threat that ISIS poses, not only to them, but quite frankly to people in the West and quite frankly, people in the United States. So it's kind of a conglomeration. And they kept saying, why will no one in the West speak out for us? Does anyone care? And when you look, there have been exceptions, but overall, the West is really not advocating, not speaking out. And lastly, I think it meets the definition, the so-called Raphael Lemkin definition of the United Nations. It is genocide. Genocide against Christians and genocide against Yazidis and other religious minorities.
Congressman Wolf, why do you think more people, particularly people in high places, whether the president or legislative leaders or anyone else, haven't been more vocal on this subject?
Well, maybe they haven't gone out there in the region to see and listen and find out. Secondly, you know, there's a Simon and Garfunkel song. Remember Boxer? They sang in Central Park, man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest. Maybe people are only hearing what they want to hear. And if you listen to the president and the administration, last week when the 21 Coptic Christians were beheaded, the New York Times said Christians beheaded. The Guardian said Christians beheaded. The White House said 21 Coptic citizens beheaded. So they just don't want to say Christian. And for some reason, they will not focus on this. So I think it's a combination of many different reasons.
Sir, when people think of Iraq, they think of the blazing heat in the summertime, and that was certainly a big feature of our time there militarily. But right now in the winter, it gets pretty cold there. What are the real-life conditions for folks right now as they're not only forced from their homes and living in fear, but trying to survive this winter?
Well, they're living in tents. They're living in, I won't say old shopping malls. They're living in old buildings that were going to be shopping malls, not like we have them in the West. And they're a little kind of 12 by 12, 15 by 15 kind of cordon off things, kind of UN tarps, if you will. They're sleeping on little mattresses, 2 inches thick with foam rubber. They all have kerosene heaters in all these little things. I'm shocked that more people are on fires breaking out. Elderly, some people in the 90s, and young kids all sleeping together. And almost no medical conditions. Now, many of them are doctors, and many of them are lawyers or educated people, but they don't have any resources. That's why I think as people can, the two groups that were really doing an amazing job that need help is one, a Catholic group called the Dominican Sisters, who are doing an incredible job. They need medicines and resources because they have opened up clinics there. The next day they got there, they start to open up clinics, but they don't have the equipment. And secondly, Franklin Graham's group, Samaritan Purse, who is doing an incredible job, but they need everything, and life is very, very corrupt.
Let me get your reaction to a couple of things that we found in your report. One of the most heartbreaking parts of this is the assessment of one person you interviewed who said, we have no access to education, we have no opportunity to work as a result of the demands and the rules of the Islamic State, and no access to health care. What is their mindset right now? They clearly still have strong faith in God. Do they have any faith that there's going to be help from anywhere else to come to their rescue here?
They have strong faith. The fact is, I would say the faith there is as strong as I've ever seen it. There are stories of people being told they have to convert or they're going to be killed or this and that. They don't convert. I think they're running out of confidence that the West will do much about it because it's been gone on now, as you know, started in June, then in August, and now here we are into February of the next year. And so they're not seeing very much assistance and help. But their faith is strong. I mean, you know, maybe their faith is greater with the persecution than it is in the West, where there's a lot more materialism and things like that. But I think they're beginning to give up on the West, and many are saying, help us stay, meaning if we don't stay, we're going to leave. And if they leave, we will literally see the end of Christianity in the place that it kind of began. In the cradle of Christendom, there will be no Christians left, and ISIS will have won.
One of the quotes here, and there's many of them here, of one person, she was denied access to health care in Mosul because she was a Christian, and her last words, according to her husband, were, I'm going to hold on to the cross of Christ. I refuse to convert. I prefer death. I prefer death to abandoning my religion and my faith. And as you said, it's hard to find greater faith in those type of circumstances than you see right there.
Yeah, that was a man who was telling us about his wife. She had cancer. They lived in a little village outside Mosul. ISIS came in, took over the village, and again, as you know, they had taken over ISIL. He took his wife to the hospital to get her treatment for cancer. She had breast cancer. ISIS told her and the doctors there they would only treat her if she converted. She refused and made those comments, and those comments were what her husband said she said. And, of course, she did not convert. She died of cancer, and, of course, he's living in it's an old school, beat-up school with two kids. His wife died. He has a daughter who lives in Turkey in a refugee camp, and he has a son who has managed to get out and lives in San Diego. But, she, because of her faith, and how we don't know how we would respond. I mean, you can almost rationalize, well, gee, do you say, you know, yes, so my wife can get the cancer treatment, or what do you, but she died.
Former Virginia Congressman Frank Wolf served 34 years in the House of Representatives. He is now the first ever Wilson Chair in Religious Freedom at Baylor University and is co-founder of the 21st Century Wilberforce Initiative. He just came back from a trip to Iraq. The brand new report from the Wilberforce Initiative is Edge of Extinction. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.